I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line. We're celebrating 23 years in business and just entering our 10th year of doing open lines. We have a few new exciting changes. First, we have our new 2017 open line format that comes with the launching of our brand new website. You can also find an archive of past topics on the publication event tab. Over the 10 years, we've covered so many topics. Whatever you can think of, you'll probably find in the publication event tab. Also, our second book, Cracking the Business Code, is available on Amazon, or you can click on the book icon on our homepage. Plus, in 2018, thinking ahead, planning, we will have our third book out called Cracking the Team Building Code. And very excited about that. And we currently offer skills testing. And if you'd like to take a look at the catalog for the skills testing that we offer, just let us know. We'll get that over to you. We've been getting some wonderful feedback on that program. Those that work with Lighthouse might have met or spoken to Glenn Croy, who is a senior consultant with us and our COO. Glenn has been a COO for companies with 60 to 600 employees with a strong OD background, and we're so grateful to have Glenn as part of our team, and if you haven't met him yet, I'd encourage you to reach out. Our topic today is redesigning performance appraisal for today's organizations. My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services, and we'll be hosting our program today. We have a few housekeeping items, and we're going to jump right into this topic. For those of you joining us for the first time at Lighthouse, everything we do goes back to our mission statement, bringing effective insight to your organization. We do this through our in-depth work style and personality assessments to raise the hiring bar and assist companies with a variety of services, including interpersonal coaching, team building, stress management workshops, and much more. Check out our website. We have an office in Taiwan, so if you have an operation in Asia and would like to get leadership coaching for them or providing ideas on how to best interact with a U.S.-based organization, just let us know. And we have just completed a strategic partnership with a coaching organization in Europe, so now we're pretty much global across the board. Very excited about that. Our goal is to make this an interactive program, so on your screen, you'll see an area you can send questions or ideas during our discussion, and we'll attempt to respond to as many of you as possible. So please join us with your thoughts and insights along the way. At the conclusion of our program, we're going to open up the line so you can talk directly with our guests. So you may want to write down some questions, two or three questions during the time, or you can submit them in the chat box. Our guests with us today are longtime friends, dear friends, and just wonderful, wonderful human beings, and at the top of their game from a business standpoint. And I'm grateful they're participating in our open line program today. I want to introduce Terry Lauterkamp, who is a founding principal with experience as a corporate HR vice president, national international consultant, graduate and undergraduate business instructor, author, and community leader. She serves as practice leader for performance and organizational development. Terry has an extensive background in planning and implementing cultural change initiatives in forward-thinking organizations, regardless of the size of the organization. Terry and Cal can help help you along with those items. Terry has been recognized as a pioneer in the area of open book management and business literacy, an innovative and proven means of building and engaging your workforce and having a culture of accountability. She has assisted many of their clients in developing a corporate university and has designed, developed, and facilitated curriculums for different organizations around that area. So also, if you guys have an association that you'd like to create a corporate university for, I'm sure you guys could talk about that together. Terry received a master's degree in educational psychology from UCLA and has been accredited as a senior professional in human resources. She's the co-author of the newly released book, Think Inside the Box, The Secret to Partnering with Your Employees to Drive Growth and Profit. Also want to introduce Cal Peters. Cal manages LTC's Northern California office and serves as its practice leader for business essentials training. Over the past 10 years, Cal has played a key role in the design, development, and training communication of leading-edge programs to improve employee engagement and productivity, financial performance, and organizational culture. And culture is key, and we're going to be talking about that today. He has an extensive background in business finance and has a passion for developing leadership talent. Cal received her bachelor's degree from UCLA and holds a Series 6 and 63 licenses. I feel privileged, very privileged, to have Terry and Cal with us today to share ideas that are going to help each of us in preparing for the future and for dealing with today's business issues. Also, registration for today's for our next program will begin at the end of today's open line program, and the topic will be outplacement, what's involved, and the benefits for doing it right. So Terry and Cal, welcome back to Open Line.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. We're really glad to be here today, and especially to have a chance to talk about a topic that we've been getting a lot of calls and a lot of questions about from our clients in recent months. And when I say that, I mean both large companies and small companies, anywhere from just a few employees to over 1,000. And it's just an issue. The whole issue of performance management, and specifically of performance appraisals, is one that everybody is thinking about and talking about right now. So it's a great topic. And I think the bottom line, if we want to jump ahead here and launch into our slides, is that it's a real conundrum. There's kind of a love-hate relationship that's going on with this whole process. We kind of jokingly say, if you like the Dilbert approach, that it's the process that keeps managers awake the night before the appraisal happens, and employees awake and anxious the night after. So it's not something that's beloved, let's say, from the standpoint of managers or employees. Most of the clients that we talk to seem to be dissatisfied with some aspect of their program. Either managers are kind of upset because of the amount of time that it takes to go through the process, and they're not comfortable with giving feedback, and kind of have a tendency to put it off and delay and just avoid having hard conversations with people on a day-to-day basis, and then get to a point where now they have to talk about it after the fact, and it's really difficult and troublesome. And employees are not happy either, obviously, because they feel like in some cases they're not being communicated with and aren't getting the kind of feedback and information that's helpful to them. And so it's not always a really happy conversation. Some of you may have read that some large organizations are kind of doing away with the process altogether, that they're deciding to just not do employee ratings or to change the process dramatically. And so we've seen a lot of that in the news and in the in articles and research and in the media. But what we want to talk about today is that even though performance management is indeed something that can be very tricky and complex and not the easiest thing in the world, when it's carefully developed and delivered well, it's of great value, both to the individual and to the organization. So that's kind of where we're coming from, and where we're going to kind of place our flag in the sand today is that there's value there, but it's really important to get it right, both what you do and how you go about doing it.
Terry, I know a lot of the listeners today, or people on the program, could very well pick up Inc. magazine 1 week or Time magazine or see something on the internet that says, oh, no more. We're not doing this anymore. We're done with the performance appraisals. And then they give some convoluted examples at best of how to do something differently. But once again, is that more of the shiny object thing of the day?
Well, in some cases, I think it is that. It's that, here's this new, better way that we've contrived. But in some cases, the process just needed to be looked at again. They had been doing the same thing for many, many years, had not done anything to change it or update it for today's workforce, which is quite different than the workforce of a few years ago in terms of the makeup. We have a lot of millennials that are continuing to enter the workforce now, and there's a mixture of generations and a mixture of kinds of people, and there's differences in the way work is getting done. And you can't just use that same old process. So I think that part of what we see is that change has gone on and people haven't done anything about their performance management system to update it for today's world. And
okay.
So that's kind of what we want to talk about.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and I think that, this slide here talks about don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think, our take has been on this. We've heard and studied a little bit about companies that have tried to do away with performance appraisals. And it's very difficult to do because the fact of the matter is you need to have some way to assess employee performance. And whether you formally rate them or not, you are evaluating them constantly. And what we're finding, of course, is that people do like feedback. And they like positive feedback. They actually are okay about even constructive feedback because they want to know how they're doing. They want to do a good job inherently. And so the kind of feedback you give is very important. And, one of the other things that's difficult about doing away with the system, which we don't really advocate, is that, you have to figure out how are you going to pay people? How are you going to base any promotional or merit increases if you don't have some formalized way to do it. What we would propose is more of a simple approach, not a 4 or 5 page performance review, but a more simple 1 or 2 pager that gets at the meat of it. And one of the primary things we'll talk about a bit later is not just a one-time event, but a process so that it's something that's ongoing in the culture of the organization to provide feedback and to give good constructive criticism, work on their development, and not have the performance appraisal be an event and or a surprise. It should never be a surprise what's on there. And we do find that's what makes employees anxious, is that they don't know, if they don't know how they're going to be reviewed. That shouldn't be our take is that shouldn't happen that way, and that feedback is the key there.
Right. The not sleeping after you hear it kind of goes away if it's just an extension of an ongoing conversation that you've been having over weeks and months. And,
mm-hmm.
It's that whole making it an ongoing conversation and building a relationship of trust.
Right.
So maybe just take a minute, Dana, to talk about some of the questions that you might want to ask yourself to figure out if your performance management system might need a little tune-up. And the first one is what we were just mentioning. Is the system an annual event or is it an ongoing process? And if it's just this once-a-year thing that you pull out of the closet when it's the deadline and you have no, you got to turn something in the next couple of weeks and prove that you had a meeting, then that's definitely a sign that something needs to be looked at, because those once a year processes have kind of gone the way of the dinosaur. You got to have more touch points in there. You got to have something that ensures everyone that there is a method for communicating and talking to one another more than just on an annual or semi-annual basis? And also, does the system that you're using right now measure both the what and the how of performance? And when we say that, we're saying the what for us means the results that the employee is generating. You know, what exactly is the person doing? What's the productivity or the results? And the how is the manner in which they go about doing it. So ideally, you have some sort of appraisal system that takes into account both of those things, not only what they're doing. Say someone is a sales a person, and they're generating many, many, many dollars of revenue for the company via being the greatest salesperson on earth, but they're kind of leaving blood in the road and antagonizing all of their fellow employees and, you know, being very competitive and aggressive in the office and not getting along with other people and that sort of thing. Well, then the manner in which they went about the process is not good, and that is important as the results that they're getting in the work that they're doing. Also, we kind of say, ask yourself the question, is whatever rating system you're using making employees feel like they're back in elementary school? A lot of times those five-tiered rating systems come out like in an employee's mind like an A, B, C, D, F kind of rating, and that never goes really, really well, because when you feel like you're back being graded as you were when you were a kid, it just, no one wants to be put in a box like that, and no one wants the totality of their effort reduced to a grade or a word, and so having that kind of system oftentimes kind of promotes that. Also, is your process future-focused on improving performance? And we really can't say enough about that. That's a huge part of what we're talking about. You really want to have messages that talk about what you can do to build and improve performance for the future. You don't want to be just looking in the rearview mirror talking about what happened last month or 6 months ago or 9 months ago. That should have been a conversation that you had when that happened, whatever it was. And then finally, is the performance rating tied to compensation? Everybody talks about pay for performance, but are you really paying for performance unless in some way you're tying how the person is doing and how you've appraised them to your compensation system, either short-term incentives, bonuses, increases, or promotions, as Cal said. So are people really being rewarded for what they do and how they do it, or is there some other kind of unpublished system going on that is how leaders are making those decisions?
Two questions came in, or thoughts, and I think you've covered these, but let's just make sure. So the first one is, aren't annual performance reviews a default proxy for what should otherwise be a continuous and powerful conversation? That's number one. And number two, what about the why of performance? Doesn't letting people know where they fit into the bigger picture make the what and the how more relevant?
Absolutely. Amen to that. The why is kind of the basis of everything. If people don't understand why they're doing what they're doing and how it impacts the overall picture, yeah, I think that the what and the how is going to be a much better, you're going to have a much better result as long as employees, really, really get that.
Okay, and you're going to be getting to that shortly. One more thought that came in, or question. Are you advocating that performance appraisals be directly tied to compensation?
That we're advocating that they be tied to compensation, but not advocating that the performance appraisal meeting is the time when you talk about compensation. If you do, typically all people are going to tune into is whatever their raise is going to be or what promotion you're giving them. So we advocate decoupling the conversations, but just that there is a connection between how you perform and how they're paid, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I was just going to comment too. Yes, I agree with Terry on that. And talking about the why that someone had the question about, you know, the what in there are the goals of the organization, the goals of that person in their job, ideally. And so those goals hopefully are mutually decided upon and might be based on the strategies of the company that support the goals of the organization. So the why in there, you know, is really revolves around the what in terms of what is my job, how does it fit into the organization, and why does it matter? And so those things are sort of wrapped into the goal part of that and also the person's development needs. Down the road. So I do think the why is key. We didn't include that particular word in there, but I think that's a great observation. So I just want to move on to the event versus the process problem. You know, one of the hardest things for managers is they're busy, and everybody's busy these days, and there's not a lot of extra time in people's day. And so there becomes this onerous task of, oh my gosh, I've got to get this thing done, this annual event done. And so one of the ways we found to kind of lessen that load, if you will, on the manager is to, you know, it's a suggestion of keeping some notes of sorts. So when someone, for example, does a great job on a project and or they landed a big client, you know, you have a little notebook, you have a journal, you have, notes in your computer for something that you can say about the person on an ongoing basis, just to remind you. Because you do forget. If you sit down and write, you know, you have to be honest with yourself, once a year, you can't remember what happened 11 months ago. And so we really encourage people to just kind of quick notes, just very, very quick notes, so that when you meet now for check-ins and one-on-ones with your staff, again, you're trying to build a relationship. You're providing them with some positive feedback and hopefully checking in with them, not only giving them feedback, but also taking in from them what their needs are and how you can best support them as a manager. So it's more of a two-way conversation that leads up eventually to an annual performance review that shouldn't be too time-consuming or difficult if you kind of have the examples, if you will, in mind of what has been done well and maybe what needs to be improved through the year. If you think about the people that are performance problems, you do have to document. You've got to pay attention, and you've got to provide feedback, and it's a negative sort of situation. But we don't want to just do that in those cases. We want to do it in all cases. And so this idea of process and feedback and check-ins, whether it's monthly or quarterly, are key to making this system, you know, work. And make something that people are committed to and they feel, again, that there's no surprise when they sit down for their annual review.
And just to tag on to that for
Terry, second. Terry?
Yes.
Actually, a couple people wrote in. They're having problems hearing you. If you could dial it up a little.
Okay, I got it. I'm going as high as I can here. Hopefully this will work. Is that better?
That's much better. And then also, somebody just wrote a question, and any suggestions about software that works well for tracking individual performance, good and bad?
You know, we work with a lot of different software vendors, and I don't think we want to call out any specific ones right now, but a lot of the systems that companies are using obviously have ways and places for tracking and, you know, places where you can go in and write feedback and write notes and that sort of thing. Most all of the automated performance appraisal systems have that now. But we're actually working with quite a number of smaller organizations that just have created their own little dashboard or monthly or even weekly check-in forms for meetings and that sort of thing. So I think that there are all kinds of tools, and it can be from very simple manual kind of process to, you know, the software, the great software systems that have places for you to make all those kind of notes and records about employee performance.
So if someone wants to reach out to Terry or Cal after the program, talk about more specifics, please feel free to. And also, a question came in. We currently do a formal semi-annual review. Do we only need to do it annually?
Well, again, I think that's kind of up to the organization. I mean, there's no one way to do things. I do think it comes down to what the company's goals are and how it works within the company. So annual ones are always the ones you hear about. To have semi-annual, frankly, to me, is better than having just annual, because it means you're sitting down twice a year, you know, with people and discussing things. But I think that depends, you know, on how else the rest of the feedback and the relationship is during the year. You know, are there check-ins? Is there feedback? Are there surprises on that? Or is it super formal, or is it more casual, informative, and more feedback going both directions? So again, I don't think there's any one right way. Having two is fine. Having one works, but to us, the biggest thing is not even in either of those things. It's the constant feedback and communication with the people that you're working with.
Cal, a question came in. So if an organization is doing, let's say, quarterly reviews or having feedback sessions, is it necessary to have that big, quote, annual thing, or is it just more of a constant then?
Well, it just depends on how you want to formalize, how you determine their overall performance, you know, and how the compensation's tied in, if it is. Because most companies, you do have to figure out a basis for which to provide a merit or promotional sort of increase in their salaries or in their pay, and without some sort of a rating system, it's harder to do. Now, can it be done? Absolutely. It's not typical, because people generally will tie some kind of a number or a matrix, if you will, to reviews to help control their costs on you can't just give merit increases of 8% to everybody, you know, to try to rein that in, to keep it reasonable and reward the high performers versus the mediocre.
Okay.
So, and I guess to just tag on to that, we're saying that the frequency of the conversation needs to be as frequent as you can do it, all the time. You're building a relationship. You're not just, you know, that's how you best manage performance, is by having that close connection and continuing feedback. And so then whether you do twice a year formal reviews or four times a year formal reviews, you still need to have those ongoing conversations and other tools in between for making sure that you're having continuing conversations and taking note of what is being said in those conversations.
Okay. We have one more question here, then we're going to move on. What is your recommendation on how being assessed by measuring adherence to the organization's core values that define expected behaviors?
The values are often a part of the discussion of how you get the job done, the manner in which you do the work that you do. So in many of the systems we've created or worked with, we use values as a measure of and how the extent to which a person is living the values as a measure of the how portion of the evaluation process, if that makes sense.
Okay. Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So measuring the what and how, we wanted to talk for just a minute about, you know, some of the specifics of how you can do that, and that kind of feeds off of that last question. But using goals is a very effective way, especially goals that are created collaboratively, not just goals that the manager comes up with and, quote, gives to the employee, but goals that are created collaboratively and are aligned is a very effective way of measuring the what. It doesn't work for all levels of employees in every single organization. Sometimes the goal process is difficult for production or manufacturing employees. That's not it's not a it's not a silver bullet for every single employee everywhere, but it's a good way of measuring the what, and we've certainly used those in many, many cases very, very effectively. The part about the how, the manner in which the work is achieved, a lot of companies use competencies or values to measure that. And whether you do that or you use some other methodology, it's a great way to have some core principles that then everyone, no matter what level they are in the company, kind of gets measured by those same things to a different degree or a different extent. And the one thing we would want to say about measuring the what and how is no matter how you do it, be sure that you share a few key strengths and development needs for both the what and the how portions of the process. And when I say a few, I don't mean 15. As Cal said earlier, simple is really the best. And in some cases, we have organizations that have come up with very, very elaborate, very specific processes and symptoms. But if it's kind of like a 5 or 6 page form or process, it's so very detailed that when the person walks out of the door from the meeting and the discussion, they don't really remember anything because there's so much that's been presented and so many criteria and things that have been discussed that nothing really sticks. So simple is really a great way to go.
Okay, so moving on in terms of the whole rating scenario. You know, most companies will use some sort of a final rating at the end. And again, that's tied into providing the assessment for the individual and usually tied into compensation. And one of the things we've learned is talking about, is avoiding the five-tiered. And as Terry mentioned before with the ABCD, the people's mentality, nobody wants to be a C. And everybody thinks they're an A or B, you know. So those systems sometimes lend themselves to problems. And so we would advocate a different sort of system, and it might be you might use 3 or you might use 4 or you might use 6. I mean, a different number, not 5, we find tends to work most effectively with people. You want to have an objective system. You want to have something, as we mentioned, the what and the how. I was thinking about competencies with people on the how. And competencies, you know, as examples, some of them, you know, vary between companies, of course, but they're important skills and values that the organization has. And you have to identify what those are, and then you have to be able to rate them objectively. And the more you can have those across the organization and consistency between managers, which is always difficult to do, but that, with some training, with some guidance, and a good system, you can make that happen, because you got to have a system that makes sense. And one manager isn't rating everybody outstanding in their department, and then another one is more the hard line manager that rates everybody satisfactory. That's something that doesn't get talked about a lot, but it matters in the organization to become effective. People talk to each other. And so we have to have some kind of a rating system, or we think it's important to do that. People want to know how they're doing, but not so focused on the bottom line end rating, more on the process and the future. And that's hard to do. It's very difficult to do, but it requires some kind of good communication with folks, not to just be so focused on what my number is. Try to take the focus away from a number as much as possible.
Okay, good. Well, we want to just talk about one of the really important ways that good, effective employers are changing the focus of performance evaluations from a past orientation, which is what people did in days gone by more so, to a future orientation. And we mentioned already that bombarding people with too many messages once a year is not an effective way to get any message across, obviously. So what people need is this continuous on-time communication. And so we're really advocating for interim touch-base meetings to really build trust and to have a real-time communication so that it's not so far after the fact that it's almost irrelevant. So one of the tips is to limit the messages and takeaways from an annual or semi-annual meeting to 3 or 4 important things that can be done now to improve performance. So what we're saying there is you're aiming for having the person walk out with, okay, here are some things that I can focus on right this minute, very practical, very easy to understand things that someone can do to continue to grow in their job and to build for the future. So that's kind of the main thing is trying to change the focus from the past to the future in how you communicate.
Okay, so now back to this, the connection between performance and pay. You know, most companies, as I mentioned before, you know, you have a rating at the end, and then you generally will tie it in to some kind of an increase. But many companies don't operate that way. I know recently we sat down with a CEO of a smaller organization, and, you know, their review system was so onerous that the managers really didn't get it done on time. It didn't really measure what they were hoping to. So the CEO sat down by themselves in a room and went through and just said, okay, this much for this person, this person, this person, this person. Totally subjective point of view from the CEO in terms of how much of a raise people were going to get. So, again, this is not ideal in terms of making sure that people have the communication, because at this point, everything's kind of lost between the managers and the people that they're managing, because the CEO, if there's a disconnect between the performance review and or feedback that the manager's been giving them and the CEO. I mean, maybe the CEO loves a certain person, but they don't know about some of the challenges that have happened with the individual work getting done. So having that connection is super important, and the only way you can, you know, you have to document it in some way. And again, we're just saying, I don't like long review forms. I was a manager for a great number of years that, you know, it was, I understand how onerous it is, and trying to make it simple. And automation and the software and things can help us to do that, where in the past we didn't have those things. We can use them, but we have to be careful it's measuring the things that we want it to measure, and that we actually use those ratings in a consistent manner to evaluate how we're going to deal with compensation and pay.
All righty. Well, the next portion is really just talking about the connection with the culture, and this is such a super important part of the whole performance management issue. And from our experience in working with clients, when it really works well is when they're in their culture, there is a real commitment to having continuous growth and continuous learning kind of environment. And you can see this because in those cultures, managers and leaders are very honest with their people about what they're learning and what their goals are for growing themselves. They talk about their mistakes openly. When something doesn't go as well as it could have, the manager owns up to needing to do things differently and better next time. And when you see that sort of thing going on as managers are talking to their people, to their staff people, then that sets the stage for having performance improvement and a future orientation in the whole performance management process. So where there is that kind of a culture, then we see the whole appraisal thing becoming a whole different animal, because people are really looking to having a formal system and process where they can walk away with two or three things that they can do to improve and grow for the next time. And managers have that same orientation in how they deal with it. So it's not just it's again not that look in the rearview mirror. It's a part of our culture. We're continuously growing, improving, learning kind of an environment. That makes a difference.
So Terry, in the performance appraisal systems, whatever it is, it sounds like there should also be a component in there for the potential of the individual and how to get them there.
And some organizations have separate processes for that, you know, for that whole thing about development opportunities. But many smaller organizations do integrate it into the appraisal process, and it's important for people to have a sense of where they might be able to go and how they can grow and what the possibilities are for the future. So I think that's a really personally a really good way to incorporate that future focus and create the culture where people feel like it's not just looking back, it's looking forward to where I can go, how I can grow, and what might be out there for me in the future when I make these, you know, make these continuous improvements.
And that helps with retention, I would think, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I think. I mean, I think the thing is with people nowadays, most people that leave a company, it's because they weren't challenged enough, they didn't feel appreciated, they didn't have anywhere to grow is a big part of it. And so if we overlook that aspect of future development opportunities and what the next step is for that person, because we don't know what it is or we can't identify, you know, those things are super important to hanging on to your strong performers, because they want to grow and they want to develop and they want to see some type of a career path. So it may not always be easy, but if we don't deal with those things with folks, and many of you maybe have experienced this, I know I have before, where if you overlook it, then someone else, you know, snags them for a better opportunity because you didn't really lead them down a path of where it's going to go. So like Terry mentioned, it's not just the past, it's the future, to use this as a tool for the future.
And
so,
especially millennials are looking at this because they're all, you know, they're really focused on development opportunities and what the future holds, and other employers are out there that might have an opportunity that they haven't even been told that they can get there in their present, you know, present organization. So,
right. So just to sum up here, so that we allow if there's any more time for questions, but a few other things just to sum it up here. So you need to look objectively at what you do and how you do it in terms of your own organization. It's all over the board is what we found in terms of what people use. There's a lot of online systems out there. There's a lot of paper systems out there that can work or may not work for your group. So you do have to kind of, I would encourage you to take a fresh look at what you do have and where you think the improvements maybe can be made. One of the things we try to do when we meet with clients is to have some focus groups with folks and talk to the managers and also the employees about what's working, what's not working, what are some of the obstacles, so that we can get at the issues there and the culture a little bit there and figure out what's the best solution for those folks in that particular organization. So because one size doesn't fit all, as we've talked about, we've dealt with many clients in this, and it's interesting. There are similarities, of course, but there's a lot of differences as well depending upon that organization. But focusing on the content, I mean, not so much, more the communication is really important, and not how cool the system might look. Like, wow, this is a new online system. It's going to solve all our problems. It's really cool, but it doesn't have the content that you're looking for, then that's not really going to help you in the long run. The other part is committing to managers, you know, to training folks or to explain to them how to do this stuff. Sometimes we think, well, a person's a manager, they automatically have been endowed with this with this skill to provide feedback and or, you know, do a review, and I think that's overlooked. So one of the things is just making sure the people you have feel confident in what they've written and what they're going to deliver, and that it's not just they wrote it the night before and then they're just going to hand it to them in a meeting and have them read it and then sign it and then go away. You know, that's the worst thing that could happen. And, of course, it happens more often than we want to admit, you know. So training folks on how to do it or talking to them about it is really key. And then just remembering that this whole thing, the idea behind this is to help the company become more successful and to reflect what it is that the company's going for in terms of values and culture. So it's results, it's performance results that roll up to the company results and doing it in a way that reflects the values that the company espouses, not just stepping over everyone and driving ahead to get that sales goal, but doing it in a manner that is in line with the values of the organization. So that's just a few things to think about. We covered a lot of ground here today and hopefully got some things for you to think about and food for thought in your own organizations that you can go back and do a little research or do a little thinking on and improve the process that you have.
Terry and Cal, a couple questions have come in before we open up the line. I just want to address them. First question is, some organizations assume they have a certain culture, and yet they're not sure what their culture is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How do you define culture, or how can organizations really find out what it is?
What their culture is, you mean, other than, it's really communicated every single day, right? It's not what's written up there on the wall behind the reception desk or in the mission statement or whatever else. It's really how people treat one another and what's rewarded in the organization, right? It's what do you reward. It's not what you say. It's what you do and how you act and who gets promoted and all of that. So the culture is really communicated informally to people as in the way that decisions are made by management and the way relationships are handled. And
right. I would just say comment, too, that, you know, does the manager sit in their office all day long and not come out with the door shut, or do they have a cubicle out there with everyone else and there's open communication, people can go up and ask questions and you know, interact comfortably, or is it more of a tiered organization in terms of management's here, employees are there, and there's a very not very much communication between the groups. So cultures are all over the place, but it does, as Terry mentions, it's how people act, it's what they do, it's how work gets done in an organization, and there's many different ways that happens, and that's how the culture gets defined. And you know, cultures can change, and hopefully they do change over time, because we used to have much more of an autocratic sort of, you know, thing where the managers were here and the employees were here, and you do as I say, and here's the goals, and go do it. It doesn't work that way anymore very effectively for most organizations.
It's a big topic, and I know you guys help organizations to bring the walls down and to see what's really going on. Next question is a two-part question. Can you share your steps of how managers should conduct a session? And the second part of that is, especially when managers struggle with holding people accountable.
And, you know, I guess I'd just like to say that kind of goes back to the point we made about training managers and employees about performance management and feedback. It kind of starts with having conversations, coaching conversations with managers through training about how to have those meetings, what steps are entailed in your appraisal process. Do you have employees provide their ratings first? Many companies that we work with do that. The employee actually gives their rating first, and then the managers share theirs in the interview process. So it kind of depends, would be my answer, on how you go about doing that. But I think very heavily weighted on, having the managers start by saying that this is just a summation of all the talks and all the conversations that we've had together over the past months as you've been working in this job. And in many cases, you want to express appreciation for having the chance to work together, and that your contribution here is really valued, and we see hope for you for the future as we continue to grow together. And so I'd like to just talk with you about some of the things that that have worked really well in these past months and this is all going to be a review, because you already know these things because we've been talking to one another over these past many months, that sort of thing. You know, that's kind of the tone and the tenor of the conversation.
Okay. Thank you. Next question. Is it fair to measure individual performance based on overall performance of the individual, their department, overall company performance?
Well, I think our talk today is really about individual performance, but that whole issue of department, team performance and overall company performance is something else that's normally factored into, you know, the compensation and rewards system, because those things have a bearing too. But we're speaking today about measuring individual performance and trying to get a better system and a better handle on managing performance of the individual piece.
Right, and I don't know if the person asking the question possibly was thinking about, you know, bonuses or things like that, or some kind of incentive plans that might be based somewhat on the individual performance and some on the company or team.
Uh-huh.
So that's something, again, that the organization can do. But what we're trying to get at here is more the one individual person documentation of how they are doing and how they are contributing to the organization.
And certainly all of those things are typically factors, you know, in short-term incentive plans and other compensation and rewards, the vehicles. We just kind of are just kind of focusing on this one piece for today's conversation.
Okay, perfect. And another question came in. To what degree is the process impacted by the fact the company is growing exponentially and people's roles are continually being redefined as the company moves from generalization to something more specific?
Right. And, you know, and truly when you have, I mean, that's one of the things that happens as things change and grow. It's kind of hard to keep tabs on all that. But that's why we recommend, if you're using a goal-based piece for the what of the performance appraisal, that you have these touch-base meetings periodically, at least quarterly. And in those quarterly meetings, you're going over the goals and how are you doing on those goals, and do those goals need to be changed a little bit, or are we seeing that there need to be some tweaks in either how the goals are stated or even what the goals are, because things do change. And if you wait a whole year and now you say, how did you do against this, you've really missed the boat in the way the world is moving so quickly today. So really having, if you're using a goal-based system, having those times that are set aside to update and refresh and check on all of those things long before the annual process comes to an end. You can still use goals, and you can still use goals very effectively, but you got to be doing it on a month-by-month or at least quarter-by-quarter basis.
And you both made a very good point that there shouldn't be any surprises.
Right.
And if you're doing it quarterly, it makes it a lot easier, but it also makes sense regardless of the company is growing fast or slow. It just seems like the right thing to do, so it's not this long, arduous thing and, oh, my gosh. Now, and Terry, you had made a comment that the annual review should not necessarily be tied into a bonus or pay increase. So is that a completely separate discussion?
Yeah, I think that's what we would advocate for, is that that's not what you talk about in your performance appraisal meeting, that's discussed at a separate time.
What does that look like? Is that set up as we're going to be discussing pay at this point, and that's the primary discussion?
Well, just that you decouple the process so that when you have your appraisal meeting, you're really talking about, you know, the results of all the little smaller conversations that you've had all year long, and that you're really focusing on what you can do to continue to grow in the future and what those opportunities might look like in the future, and that you really keep your messaging on the improvements that you see, plus the strengths that you see in this individual person. Keep their mind focused on what you're trying to talk about. Let's not get it all mixed up in this other stuff. And those other conversations can come when it's the time for the merit increase. You know, you just have a separate time period on the calendar for those two things.
Okay. This is such a hot topic, and you guys have done an amazing job, and we have so many people on the program today attending that it's. I'm not going to open up the line, but if anybody has any last-minute questions, go through the chat box before we close here. I know we're almost at the top of the hour, and some people have lunch, or they're coming back, or have meetings to go to in a few minutes, so any last questions, please send them through the chat box. Or if you think of something later today or in a week or two from now, please reach out to Terry or Cal. We'll be sending out the slides and the audio in the next couple of days, so you'll have an opportunity to review the ideas that have been shared today. And I want to thank both of you for doing a terrific job on a huge topic that most people are very it's very complex and confusing. And you've brought some clarity to it, which I think has been very helpful to everybody.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Dana. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, and I hope people have gotten a little few tidbits out of this that can help them in their organizations.
A couple people have written in, thank you all. People have appreciated this content. Again, please feel free to reach out to Terry or Cal, because it's a huge topic, and it's constantly evolving. And that's how the relationship should be with all your staff members. It shouldn't be static. It should be evolving. So thank you guys for all attending today's program. Our next program will be on July 20th. And if you want to sign up for it, you can go onto the link, and it's called Outplacement, What's Involved and the Benefits for Doing It Right. So thank you again for attending Open Line. Onward we go, and have a wonderful rest of the day. And happy 4th of July in summer. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye.